It's time now for our children's sermon. So if you're a fourth, fifth, or sixth grader, come on up to the second row up here. And I brought the sermon box. So I've got a few things in here. So, I'll move over here to where you guys are. Yeah, thanks for joining us. So in the sermon box this morning, I've got a list of things here. And there's a list of truths and a list of lies. You know, we've got a lot of lies going running around in our culture today, and so it's good to be able to recognize lies. But the best way to recognize lies is to know the truth, right? So I'm just going to, you know, throw out a few things here, and I want you to tell me if this is true or false. Okay, 2 + 2 = 4. True, okay. And if you got two things, you got two more things, it's always going to be four things, right? Okay, now how about this one? 6 + 3 = 4. No. You know, that you look at those and you know. So, okay, here's another one. Tell me if this is true. God loves you.
True.
Okay. Tell me if this, what about this? God doesn't love you.
False.
Jesus is God. What do you think? True? Okay.
Sort of.
Okay. Sort of? Okay. You know, so maybe we ought to talk about that one for a little bit. So there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but there's just one God. And so some people say, well, Jesus was praying to God, so how could he be God? How can God be both in heaven and on earth at the same time? Well, that's because God is everywhere. It's easy for him to be on earth and heaven at the same time. So yes, Jesus is God. And it's kind of hard for us to understand that, but there's a lot about God we don't understand. But yes, Jesus is God. One with the Father. And the reason we know that is because Jesus said, the Father and I are one. And Jesus also said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So, yes, Jesus is God. And Jesus accepted worship. And, if he wasn't God, he deserves an Oscar, right? Because he acted like God. Okay, so here's another one. God knows you. True? Okay. Here's another one. God doesn't know you.
False.
God knows what you're doing every minute of the day. True, right? Okay. God doesn't have a clue what you're doing.
False,
right. He knows all things. Okay, God never sleeps.
True,
you're right. He never sleeps. Isn't that great? Okay, here's another one. God sleeps at night.
False.
Yeah. He never sleeps. Now, did you notice that the false is just the opposite of what is true? Yeah. That's a good thing to remember. Okay, God is all powerful.
True.
God is weak.
False.
We can find truth in the Bible. Okay. We can find truth in a garbage can.
False.
We might find a little bit of truth in a garbage can. Okay. Jesus can take you to heaven.
True.
There is no heaven.
False.
Right. Okay, now some things are true and false, and some things are neither true nor false. I'll give you an example. Tell me about this. The Bible is God's word. The Bible is God's word. What do you think? Is that true or false? Okay, Angel says true.
It depends on the Bible.
Okay, he says it depends on the Bible. Which, you mean it depends on which Bible you're looking at, huh? Well, I guess I was referring to the scriptures that, you know, that we have that God has given us through the ages. Okay. How about this one? Green is the best color. It's not true or false. That's right. That's somebody's opinion. Right. Okay. God knows when you're in trouble.
True.
Broccoli is yummy. What do you think? Okay. Okay. I think that's an opinion, don't you think? Yes. Okay. Angela says true, and Annie says false. Okay. That's another opinion. God will help you if you ask Him. That's true. Yeah, He says, call on me and I will help you. Okay, the Dodgers is the best baseball team. Okay. Okay, that's definitely somebody's opinion. Okay. Okay. God will save you from this wicked world if you ask Him. True, yes. Okay, Domino's is the best pizza. What do you think?
False.
Okay.
False.
Okay. Yeah, that's just somebody's opinion. So, it really helps us to know what's true and what's not true. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. And fortunately, you know what? God loves us so much, He wants us to know the truth. And He's made it really easy for us. And that's why He gave us the Bible. And that's why when we come to church, we listen to the Bible, because we want to listen to what God has to say. Now, why is it that God has and knows the truth? What do you think? What are some reasons why we can trust God? What?
He's all-knowing.
Right, He's all-knowing. And how long is, like, how old is God? Like, how long has He been around?
All of time.
All of time, right. So, when you think of, you know, He's been alive from eternity past. So the things that have happened in the world, He's always been there. He's seen everything that's happened in the world. And He knows what is true and what is right. Okay, so thanks for joining to talk about these few things. And this will help us. This will help the adults as we look at the passage we're going to talk about this morning. So the passage we're going to look at this morning is just the next passage in the book of Romans. And we've been studying the book of Romans. And so we've come to chapter 16, and my computer's gone blank, so I'm going to have to turn it back on up here. And there we go. So I just want to say a few things, you know, because adults, you know, kind of get confused about this too. Like, how can we know what is true? And there's a simple answer. God tells us what is true. You know, every once in a while somebody will say to me, well, you know, I don't really understand God. Well, you know what? I don't understand electricity, but I'm not going to stay in the dark until I do, right? I'm going to go ahead and turn it on and use it, even though I don't understand it. So, God is hard to understand, but that's why He gave us the Bible. So we could know the truth about God. So that we could know the truth about Jesus. So that we could know the truth about ourselves. So that we could know the truth about what's going on in the world. And so we could know the truth about the future. God tells us all of those things. And even though we'll never fully understand God, He's far above our understanding, and that's really a good thing. You know, not too long ago I was with the youth, and I said, you know, just think about an ant. You know, just think about the brain of an ant. An ant just in no way has the capability of understanding the human world. His brain is just too small. Well, the gap between an ant and a human is very small compared to the gap between humans and Almighty God. He's just way above us. And that's okay. In fact, that gives us comfort to know that He's way beyond us and knows far more than we know. We can accept the fact that God is all-knowing, all-powerful. God has given us information in His Word, truths about Himself, that we can accept by faith because of who God is. Jesus said, I have come from heaven. Jesus said, I came into this world to testify of the truth. He said that in John 18, verse 37. So receiving the truth all depends on who you trust. We trust Jesus because He claimed to be God and He proved it by His miracles and His resurrection from the dead. God has given us the truth as revealed in the Bible, but He also gives us a warning. And that warning is, beware of deceivers. There are a lot of deceivers in the world today. And what is a deceiver? Anyone who tells us something that is the opposite of the Word of God. Remember, the false things are always the opposite of truth, right? So God tells me in His Word that there is a God and that God created the world. So I have a choice. I can either believe man who wasn't around when the world was created, or I can believe God who is real and who is there when it happened. There is something we need to remember about deceivers, and that is that they themselves are deceived. And you want to know something about somebody who's deceived? They don't know they're deceived. And so they don't need to be condemned. They need help. They need to know and understand the truth. They need Jesus, because when people find Jesus, they find the truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so we just need to look to Him, trust Him, and follow Him, and we can follow Him all the way to heaven. So the passage we're going to look at this morning is Romans chapter 16. We're going to start with verse 17. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 16. We're just going to pick up where we left off last week. Romans chapter 16, and we're coming to the end of the book. And you'll find this on page 1025 in the rack Bible in front of you. So yes, there's a Bible in the rack in front of you. We call it the rack Bible. And you'll find this passage on page 1025. Romans chapter 16. So first of all, let me just read the few verses that we're going to talk about this morning. Romans chapter 16, starting with verse 17. Just follow along as I read it. He says, Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore, I am rejoicing over you. But I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Okay, so let's go back to verse 17. Verse 17 says, Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances. So, you know, in the Greek, that phrase, keep your eye on, is just one word in the Greek. And actually, it could have been one word in the English. You know, it could have said, watch those people who cause hindrances or dissensions. Or it could have said, examine those who cause dissensions and hindrances. But the Greek word is skopeo. And it's the Greek word from which we get the English word scope, as in telescope or microscope. So he's saying, you know, keep your eye on those people who cause dissensions and hindrances. It carries the idea of examine closely. Now, who are we to keep our eye on? Who are we to examine closely? Those who cause hindrances and dissensions. Now, I want to talk about those two words, dissensions. In Greek, the word means standing apart or to separate. So in this context, it refers to somebody who might separate themselves from the Word of God, who might deviate from the Word of God. So here in this verse, he says, I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to what? The teaching which you learn. Now, what did they learn? Well, we know from previous verses that they learned the Scriptures. And so he's saying, keep your eye on these people who are separating you from the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of churches today that don't teach the Word of God. They teach poetry. They teach stories. They rely on entertainment. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with poetry. I love poetry. Nothing wrong with stories. I love stories. And I've got one to share with you this morning. But But truth comes from the Word of God, and that should be our focus. And so, here the next thing he's talking about, he wants us to be aware of those who purposely reject the clear teaching of Scriptures. So he's not talking about Christians who disagree over the color of the carpet or the color of the front door. You know, about 10 years ago, we had this church painted, and a guy in the church, he was an architect, and we thought, you know, he's up with the latest, we'll just let him, you know, do it. So he got the church painted, and he painted the door of the church white. And some people got really upset about that. And there was this big discussion about that. And eventually they painted the door the same color as the rest of the church. Just some people didn't want that door to stand out like that. Okay, so that's a little different. That's not what this passage is talking about. It's not talking about opinions. He's talking about people who purposely reject the clear teaching of Scripture. In the first chapter of the book of Galatians, Paul writes, "You are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel." Then he warns them, "But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we preach to you, let him be accursed." You know, it is a serious thing to reject the Word of God. To reject the Word of God is to reject Jesus Himself. Jesus Himself is the Word that became flesh. That's what Scripture tells us. And then there's this word, hindrances. It carries the idea of causing somebody to stumble. It can refer to tempting someone. And just as in the Garden of Eden, God allowed a serpent to tempt Eve, so God does not prevent false teachers from coming into the church. But I should say that there's little chance of that happening here in this church because, you know, God has so designed the church that there's pastors and a pastor is a shepherd, and that's one of the jobs of the shepherd is to protect the flock. So I would never let somebody come here and teach who did not believe in the deity of Christ or that the Bible is the Word of God. But make no mistake about it, there are plenty of false teachers in the world today. And so we should be aware, beware of anything or anyone who teaches something that is contrary to the Word of God. And of course, in order to recognize that something is contrary to the Word of God, you have to know the Word of God, right? And to know what the Bible speaks on a particular subject. And I want to tell you this morning that the Bible speaks on every subject known to man. You cannot name a subject or an issue, whether it be political or cultural, that God's Word does not speak on. God speaks on creation, the creation of life, the purpose of life, the condition of man, marriage, child raising, singleness, money management, war, government, heaven, hell, homosexuality, transgender changes, border walls, pornography. God speaks on every subject. And all we need to do as believers is to dig into the Word and find out what God has to say about that subject. There's no subject that God does not speak on. So this verse tells us what to do when we encounter false teachers. He says in verse 17 that we are to turn away from them. So we're not to reject, we are to reject false teachers. We're not to debate them, but we are to help them by sharing the truth with them so that they can understand what God has to say on that particular subject. Now, here's something interesting. Look at the next verse, verse 18. Verse 18 says, "For such men are slaves. Such men are slaves not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites." So, first of all, I want you to notice that he makes it clear that they're not slaves of Jesus. And I want to tell you this morning, maybe you've never thought about this, but being a slave of Jesus, that's a good thing. In fact, I'd like to suggest to you that it's a great thing. And being a slave of Jesus is one of the greatest privileges that anyone could attain to. Paul referred to himself. Paul is the one that God used to write the book of Romans. And he begins the book of Romans by saying, "Paul, a bondservant, a bondslave of Jesus Christ." That was his calling. That was his mission. Being a slave of Jesus is the greatest privilege that anyone could attain to. A slave of Jesus is someone who is under the authority of Jesus. Someone whose life purpose is to serve Jesus. Someone who eagerly obeys Christ. And it is the blessed life to obey Christ. The fulfilling life. The life of purpose that is above all endeavors. You know, God has created us to be His servant. And so when we are serving Christ, we are fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. And we're the happiest when we are fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. And when we get off track, when we lose that mindset, that's when we go into times of chaos and times of depression. We need to be focused on our Lord and follow Him. So they're not slaves of Jesus, but you know, there's that famous song by Bob Dylan, "You got to serve someone," and everybody's a servant to something or someone. And so these false teachers, who are they a servant to? Well, he says, these false teachers follow their own desires. In other words, they're a slave to their own desires. And the word in the Greek is really belly. They're a slave to their bellies. They do what they want and have little interest in even knowing what God wants. They may be sincere, but they never are genuinely concerned for the cause of Christ and His church. They may be sincere, but listen, you can be sincere and sincerely wrong, right? False teachers are sincere, but sincerely wrong. They are driven by self-interest or self-gratification. It could be money, or it could be fame, or it could be both. And you can find them today. You can find them on television. You can find them on the internet. They've written books. They've started ministries. They've built empires. And it says in this verse that they deceive the unexpecting. Verse 18 says, "For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting." They deceive the unsuspecting. Now, who are the unsuspecting? Well, it could be anybody who doesn't know the Word of God. It could be those in the church. It could be those who want to avoid conflict. It could be those who are also led by their appetites. And you know, the culture teaches us to make decisions based on our feelings, to follow our feelings. God tells us to follow Him. Now I'd like for you to look at verse 19. It says, "For the report of your obedience has reached all." Now isn't that something great to say? I'd love for somebody to say that about our church. You know, you guys have a reputation of obeying the Lord Jesus. That would be great. And why did Paul say this to the church in Rome? Well, because obedience to Christ is the best protection against false teaching. Think about that for a few minutes. Obedience to the Lord Jesus is the greatest protection against false teaching. And so he says, and here's a couple of great phrases in this verse. He says in verse 19, "But I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil." Be wise in what is good. You know, Jesus said something similar in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. He got his disciples together and he says, "Hey, listen, I'm going to be going to these towns and I want you to go ahead of me and I want you to tell people about me when you go into those towns and let them know that I'm coming." You know, we need to do the same thing, right? We need to let the world know that Jesus is coming. He's coming back. And so Jesus said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." When Jesus said, "Be shrewd as serpents," he was just saying that we need to know and understand the way the world works. Okay, so here's my story for the day. So this is a true story. So this businessman was going to Europe. He's going to be gone for 2 weeks. And so he drove his car into New York, and he drove down underneath and parked his car in the parking lot underneath the bank. He went into the bank and he said, "I'd like to apply for a loan for $5,000. And they said, "Well, You'll need some identification. He gave him identification. And he says, and the bank told him that, okay, you know, your identification looks good, but, you know, we're not your bank. We don't really know you. You're going to need some collateral. And so the businessman said, okay, fine. You can have my Rolls Royce. Here's the key. And it's down in your parking lot. And here's the title for the car. So with, you know, they went and checked out the Rolls Royce. They had the keys. They had the title. So they get fine. They gave him a loan for $5,000. So he left. 2 weeks later, he comes back. And he says, okay, I'd like to settle up on the loan. And they said, okay, that'll be $5,000. And the interest is $15.40. So he, you know, he was a smart businessman. He knew what the interest was. He already had a cashier's check ready. And he gave him a cashier's check for $5,000, $15.40. And so they gave him the keys to his Rolls Royce back, gave him the title back. He starts walking out of the bank, and the banker says, excuse me, sir, you know, while you were gone, I did some research on you, and I found out that you're a multimillionaire. So, like, why in the world would you want to take out a loan for $5,000? And he said, well, you know, it's just the best way, and, like, it's the best way to park your car in Manhattan for 2 weeks and only have to pay $15.40. Okay, he was shrewd, right? That's what Jesus is talking about. Be shrewd. Be wise. Understand what's going on. And then he says in this passage, be innocent in what is evil. So he doesn't say be ignorant of what's evil. We need to know and recognize evil. Evil is real. There'll come a day when Jesus returns and he will change the world and he will rid the world of evil. And you may think, well, what's he waiting for? Why doesn't he do it now? Well, he's waiting for more people to repent. Maybe he's waiting for somebody in this room to repent and come to Christ. But Jesus will destroy evil. And so, when this verse says, be innocent of what is evil, it means to don't let evil influence you. Don't dabble in evil. Someone may wrongly think, well, you know, I'm going to take cocaine so that I can understand what drug addicts experience and go through because I want to help lead drug addicts to Christ. No, don't do that. Don't mess up your life. Don't let evil touch you. Be innocent. You don't need to live in a garbage can to learn what garbage is. Don't let the garbage of this world get on you. You'll begin to sting just like the rest of the world. Paul wrote to the Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. You know, so many people are messed up because their mind dwells on wicked things. As you know, our brain is like a computer, and whatever you put in it is going to stay there unless God removes it. And yes, God has the ability to bring healing and to renew our mind. In fact, that's what He desires to do with each one of us. He desires to renew our minds. It says in Romans chapter 12, we talked about it, I think, 5 months ago when we were in Romans chapter 12. Our mind needs to be renewed because of the filth that is so prevalent in our culture today. And then I want you to look at this next verse, verse 20. This is a great verse. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. What a wonderful day that will be. We can look forward to a time when God will bind Satan and put him away. We can look forward to a world where there will be no more evil, disease, or death. And if you'd like to be reminded of that event, it's recorded in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation tells us what's going to happen in the future. In Revelation 20, John, the disciple of Jesus, had a vision, and this is what God showed him. It says, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key to the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So Jesus is going to return. He's going to set up his kingdom on earth. He's going to bind Satan for 1,000 years. And then it says in verse 7, when 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison. Now what does this tell us? You know, Jesus told us this, but here it's, we see it here in Revelation. And that is, Satan, he's powerful, but he's puny compared to God. God can only do what God, Satan can only do what God allows him to do. And so we need not fear him. And then it's, as you know, Scripture then says that Satan will be released. He'll gather the nations to come against Christ and his people. And then it says in verse 9, and they came upon the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints, that would be the believers, and the beloved city, that would be Jerusalem. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So one day God is going to take care of Satan. And then in this next verse, you know, it's not in your notes. I forgot to put it in your notes. This is the last point. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. And in one sense, you know, as you know, he's coming to the end of this book. It's a second benediction. There was another benediction back in chapter 15. And so it's a reminder. Even though you're doing well, even though you've just read this letter he's telling the Christians in Rome, even though you're known for your obedience, you still need the grace of God to strengthen you and to empower you to live a life that's pleasing to God. And that's what the grace of God is. The grace of God is the power to do what God wants you to do. And we all need the grace of God in all that we do. So let's talk about a few points of application before we close our time together. So the first point of application would be, know the Word of God. And the best way to know it is just to read it. And I want to encourage you to read the Word daily. It's God's truth for us. Then secondly, turn away from those who cause dissensions and hindrances. Be on the alert to what is happening in the world. And be aware of those things that are contrary to the Word of God. And then thirdly, recognize the prominent lies of today. We've already mentioned several of them with the kids. There are those who think that there is no God. There are those who think that God doesn't love them. There are those who think that His plans for them is not really good. All of those are lies that keep us from following Him. And so this day, let's make it our plan, make it our purpose to trust Him, to know what is right, to know what is true. You've heard perhaps many times, because I've said it on several occasions, that, you know, there are people with the FBI who track down people who make counterfeit money. And you know how they're trained? They study the real thing. They study the real dollar bill. They don't need to study all the fake stuff. They just need to study the real thing. And we as God's people just need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and to read and know His Word so that we can know what is true. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we give You thanks for giving us Your Word. We give You thanks for visiting us from heaven in the person of Jesus so that we can know what You're like. And Lord, we thank You for Your presence here this morning. And so, Lord, I pray for each person here that we together as Your people will be committed to You. We know that You are the way and the truth and the life. And so, Lord, may we be people of truth. May we be people who speak the truth. People who live the truth. People who hunger for the truth. and people who recognize false ideas. Lord, we know that every false idea is a trap. And so, Lord, we pray that we would have your wisdom so that we can avoid the traps in our culture today. You may be here or you may be watching or listening online, and you may realize that you're not walking in the truth. Perhaps you thought that Jesus was a good person, a good man, that he had some good ideas, but maybe you've come to realize today that no, Jesus came from heaven. And because he came from heaven, he knows how to get to heaven. And he alone can take us to heaven. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never put your trust in Christ, to put your trust in Christ right now. Just turn to him and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I don't know everything, but I realize today that you do know everything. And it's only right and good to trust you and to follow you. And I also realize and recognize that I'm sinful. There's a lot of evil in me. There's a lot of selfishness in me. And I'm quick to just follow my own desires. I don't want to follow my own desires anymore. I want to follow you. And so I accept your death on the cross as a payment for my sins. And I receive you as my Savior and my King and Lord. And from now on, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to live for you. I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to determine to know the truth and to follow the truth and to follow you now into eternity. And so, Lord, we again thank you for your mercy towards us and for your kindness towards us. And we pray, Lord, that you would draw us to yourself even right now. We thank you for your patience towards us. And Lord, we know that we've often ignored you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would do a new work in our hearts and lives. To trust you, to talk to you, to listen to you, and to follow you wherever you lead us. Because we know and we're convinced that you love us perfectly. And that your plans for us are far greater than any plans we could ever dream up ourselves. And so, Lord, we eagerly give ourselves to you this morning. And we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.